I like that one. I hate smoking, so I guess that cart was put on for me for the break. That's fine. One of the other projects I had while I was doing my tape cassettes and radio programs was to make a chronology of some of the most important dates that have affected our history today. One of the reasons I'm back on KLRB in this area is the nomination of Ronald Reagan for President of the United States, the corruption of the Mormon hierarchy that are working their way up in the politics of our country into a very dangerous space that we'll do other programs on, and I'll do some more on the Polish Pope this evening and share some of my feelings about that. The draft registration is outrageous. The poison in our foods is unforgivable. The pollution, the dumping, the waste of chemicals under people's homes and schools is unforgivable. The government, the Pentagon, knew about it all along. The fact that a man is running for president who's going to decide whether or not you can have an abortion is certainly an infringement on our personal rights, and the selection of presidents is very important. They'll decide whether you have solar energy or nuclear energy. They appoint justices of the Supreme Court. These men have the right to decide over your body. The new judges will have to, before they're considered as judges, if Ronald Reagan is president, will have to be against abortions. There was a cartoon in the paper today of somebody handing a pregnant woman a coat hanger. Are we going to get back to that? There's such a contradiction because the very people that don't want abortions are the worst warmongers, and will send the young, healthy people who are 19 and 18 off to war. And then we have the registration again, getting ready for World War III. These people never stop unless you stop giving them the power. And it's my belief that instead of getting out in the street and thrashing and screaming when it all comes down, that there is a way to read books, read articles, listen to the radio, call talk shows, write to congressmen, and let them know how you feel in addition to being out on the streets. And the only way you can let them know how you feel is to become intelligent on the subjects and challenge their decisions and protest the way they're pushing us around. We're pushed at every level besides the taxation, the pollution. There's an article last week that nuclear waste was put in the water off of Vancouver and up in Washington and in drums. People didn't know. The fish will be killed while there's an effort to save the whales, or the furs up in Canada when the baby seals are born. There should be an effort across the board to stop this craziness. This is a band-aid society, and the thing that always bothers me is that I can go to one group who are, used to be the Vietnams against the war, another group Save the Whales or Greenpeace, another group stopping a certain type of a weapon. It is an entire system. It's a state of mind that we have to confront, and I want to talk a little about that too tonight if we have time. About 10% of the population make all the decisions for the pollution, the killing, the corruption. And out of that 10%, about 2% decide who of the political leaders, such as Allende, are murdered, or John Kennedy, or Robert Kennedy, or Martin Luther King, and I can name 70 heads of states that have been slain by these people, Lumumba and Ralph Bunche and Dag Hammarskjöld. Anybody who's about to make peace or to talk peace gets ripped off. It's no longer a coincidence that these things happen. Granted, Mr. Morgenthau may not be young, but the very attorney who knows about Turpin and Korkella dies the same week that the investigation of Libya is going on that could counteract some of these other charges and expose the full story of the arms and weapons to Libya. There are just too many deaths happening just at the time that an event is taking place for it to be a coincidence any longer. Oh, I was mentioning that one project I had last summer for 3 weeks was a history, as I said, of the most important dates that are affecting us today. It is my belief that events don't just happen. We don't just wake up and have Pearl Harbor. We don't just take a cruise like I did when I was younger, and we landed, went around the Panama Canal, and we landed in San Diego, and Hitler had invaded Poland. We didn't discuss it. My family didn't discuss it. I went off to Stanford that year. The college education didn't discuss the war. Those were the dark ages, and it's very imperative that the remaining population here that have a mind free, that is not under drug control or medications and has energy, use that energy to take their life in their own hands. If 10% of the population in this country control all industry and agriculture and energy and the means of communication, then there's another 10% of this country that has the energy to counteract them. Forget the middle 80%. They're sleeping, they're zonked out, maybe they're drinking, they're at the sports, they're off at the recreation places, they are lost in all the diversions that we have, and nothing is wrong with any single one of them, whether it's baseball or boating or theater, whatever you do. But we are a country that has diversions. We have televisions and entertainment around the clock in our homes, so that people don't have discussions and don't share information on how to take control of their own lives. The 10% that control us know how to feed us the goodies, just like the British knew how to bring opium into China to keep the people happy. And the 10% in this country who do not fall into those traps are the 10% that can counteract those other forces. A simple man like Khomeini, with his beard flowing down him and his ancient clothes, could walk into Iran when all of the weapons of Bell Aerospace and Boeing and Roth, the Fairchild and Lockheed and so forth, couldn't keep the Shah in. There's a lot of lessons about what happened in Iran or Nicaragua, and people power, simple people power, will move. Those are moving forces equal to all the weapons and arms that have ever been made. There's no torture instruments that can counteract it once the people make determination that they've had enough. Some of the most important dates that I had on the list were in 1920, the intention of Germany to not obey the Versailles Treaty, and having General Reinhard Gehlen, who was in the army, form the spy system for Adolf Hitler. He was brought to the United States at the end of World War II to form our CIA. In 1921 was the Council of Foreign Relations. In 1921 was the Hoover think tank at Stanford University. Herbert Hoover had $22 billion invested in Tsarist Russia in oils and minerals, and when the Soviet Union took over and the Tsar was kicked out, Herbert Hoover took tax money, $55 million of it, to feed the poor and put it into the Polish Tsarist troops to get ready for World War II to begin. They armed after World War I to regain their investments. Russia has been a piece of territory that Japan, United States, France, and England have wanted to carve up. And everything we do today, every reason for our existence through the propaganda and television and newspapers and so forth, is to gear us for that next war, to try and take the Soviet Union one more time so that specific people can get the mineral, the gold, the wealth, the wheat, whatever it is that Russia has that they've wanted these many, many years. 1922, the British put Mussolini into Italy. In 1923, Interpol was started. That was the formation of the Gestapo police, of Adolf Hitler's Gestapo police, and J. Edgar Hoover was vice president of Interpol and worked with Heydrich and Carlton Brummer and the Nazis, and that's why men like Mengele and Dr. Urban or Himmler and Bormann could travel around the world in the United States, because J. Edgar Hoover was a part of Interpol and the Nazi organization. The Russian fascists moved from the Soviet Union. When it became the Soviet Union, they formed a society in Harbin, Manchuria. They moved to Connecticut and formed a fascist party, 50,000 of them, in Connecticut, and that was in 1930. So those years are important. 1932 is when a Mr. Gumbel, a professor of University of Heidelberg, was fired because he wrote a book on 400 political assassinations prior to the election of Adolf Hitler in 1933. And in 1932, the year that this FBI document says that Joseph Mengele became an American citizen, Hitler was getting ready to become elected as the head of the Reich Chancellery. He made the cover of Time. He, 1 year later, was to set up the Dachau concentration camps. He was burning the books. And 1 year after Mengele got his citizenship and went back to Germany, with the boycott of Jewish businesses, and the Gestapo was formed. I have to update the chronology. chronology. I did a, as I say, three-part series going from 1826 to 1947, and maybe on KLRB I'll update some of those important dates from 1947 to the present. I received a call once from a woman similar to the message this man gave me about the FBI report on Mengele's, and she told me about a friend of hers who was married to a man living in Sedona, Arizona, who was under mind control and was involved in the Kennedy assassination. And he lived in a trailer park, and four men were programmed there. And they went back and forth to Nogales, Mexico. And she said that this man worked in New Orleans with Clay Shaw and these Nazis that were part of the assassination to kill John Kennedy. In the book, Treason for My Daily Bread, that I mentioned a little earlier, Clay Shaw worked with Reinhard Gehlen, Colonial Dignitat, and those Nazis. And this woman told me, it was several years ago, about the trailers in Sedona, Arizona, that one park was called Lost Eden in Sedona, Arizona, where the mind control group were involved in erasing memories for people who had a part in killing John Kennedy. Not everybody was shooting him, but there were people on the grassy knoll that were picking up shells or getaway cars or flying planes away. And she told me the headquarters was in Sedona. Right after the assassination of John Kennedy, Marina Oswald, the widow of Lee Harvey Oswald, was taken to Sedona, Arizona by Priscilla Johnson. That was her CIA control. And later she was taken to Sedona, Arizona. So I have information about Arizona and the assassination of John Kennedy as it has to do with mind control experiments. And it's interesting that this FBI document places Mengele's in Arizona in 1966. That was 3 years after the death of Kennedy, but he may have been familiar with those camps. He certainly was an expertise at that subject. Another big story that is you can hardly keep up with in the news as we follow the Vesco Cartergate story is the Ab Scam. And I don't know how many of you listeners are familiar with the Ab Scam story. It broke just February of this year with the suggestion that members of Congress were in the pay of organized crime. And the FBI was having 70 to 90 ongoing investigations of the organized crime links from Nevada to Los Angeles to New Orleans, Pennsylvania, New York, Florida, and they were going to make arrests. Two of the men already indicted in this are Carlos Marcello, who was part of the Kennedy assassination and named by the House Select Committee as having a role in that, and Irv Davidson, who was the public relations man linked to the assassination to Mr. Murchison in Texas and John Connally and the assassination teams. Now, it could easily be that Mr. Civiletti and the Justice Department, in going into these investigations for 2 years, had to be put out of office and stopped. And one reason for Vesco calling the shots on Jimmy Carter now and the Cartergate story and entrapping Jimmy Carter may be getting even for his beginning the indictments on these members of Congress. Billy Carter is such an unimportant character. He's not a sleazy little guy, not half as bad as Richard Nixon's brother. And he ran a gasoline station. He's hardly the kind of person who would be traveling with international leaders and over with Gaddafi and getting airplane contracts and so forth. He was a beer-guzzling little simpleton till they put him down at this hospital in California, and then he comes out a man of the world with international connections and arms dealers. It could be very easy to take a man like that who is now cured of his alcoholism and bait him with $1 million or a possible oil contract and travel him back and forth to get a few planes for Gaddafi in order to get Billy Carter and Civiletti and Jimmy Carter out of office because they are making these Ab Scam indictments. The news media has certainly been quiet about the potential for the Ab Scam arrests. The main investigations are called Ab Scam, Brylab, and Pensdorf, and they all connect with the Las Vegas, La Costa, New Orleans, international, national assassins that go back to the John Kennedy assassination, and then the threads run through Watergate, Koreagate. All of these investigations that keep going continuously are the result of never solving the murder of who killed John Kennedy. If that were solved, we wouldn't have to have all these blackmails and payoffs that lead to further crimes, but the same names run through the script and the cast of characters continuously. From Watergate, it was easy when the men were arrested at Watergate for me to write a story, Why Was Martha Mitchell Kidnapped, because I recognized the cast of characters after doing my 7 or 9 years of research into the John Kennedy murder. And it was that article I did on Martha Mitchell that was the first published article in the world naming Richard Nixon and the CIA being behind the assassinations and behind the Watergate story, and the effort of Watergate to hush up the story going back to Dallas and the Bay of Pigs and the anti-Castro Cubans and organized crime was pretty successful, except new pieces kept leaking out. One of the criticisms of people doing research into the assassinations for years was it couldn't be a conspiracy that killed John Kennedy because too many people would know, and therefore you couldn't keep a conspiracy quiet. Well, the truth of the matter is that too many people do know, and the conspiracy keeps getting unglued. So the newspaper articles I read and the books I read and the information I share with you, a great deal of it has to do with the way they're getting exposed and unglued. Unfortunately, after John Kennedy was killed, the war escalated in Vietnam and this country went through a lot of pain. But one thing happened with the murder of John Kennedy that almost made it all worthwhile, and that was that people accepted the major news media and government stories and history books until 1963. When the Warren Report came out in 1964, published by the Pentagon with the name of Chief Justice Earl Warren on it, with John J. McCloy, president of Chase Manhattan Bank, and Alan Dulles of the CIA, and the members of the Warren Commission, all part of this international cartel that later their names became more prominent. When John Kennedy was killed, they were pretty quiet in their bank offices, even though they were international wheelers and dealers. But after John Kennedy was killed, private individuals like myself became researchers. The so-called muckrakers surfaced out of the woodwork. Books began to be written and investigations took place, and people studied the murder of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and all of a sudden a library mushroomed. My library now is thousands of books, more than I can afford to buy. If I had the money, I would double the library on political assassinations. Private people going into the FBI, the Security Exchange Commission, the CIA, the Pentagon, the bankers, the international bankers. All of a sudden, that 10% of the population with a little bit of curiosity began to publish books, write articles, get on radio shows, and out of the woodworks, as I say, I was 40 years old when I began research. I'd never read a nonfiction history book except what was required in my college days, and outside of that, I was raising a family and 5 children, and I wanted to know what was happening in this country, and it isn't hard to figure it out if you set your mind to it. You can figure out these scandals just as I did and put the pieces together, and it becomes more interesting than any fiction, I think it is, and you follow the threads of these stories. And as I say, the news today, the things that we'll be doing again on KLRB like I did before, are the stories of who they're murdering today, people they murdered in the past, and the connecting links, and as I say, how they become unglued. After the Warren Commission report came out and it was a total failure, there was a few years of time lapse when Watergate burst open and those same agents, as I said, were involved. So the select committee was set up, the Senate Select Committee to investigate Watergate, and Leon Jaworski was one of the head investigators, and Gerald Ford, who was on the Warren Commission, was appointed to be president by Richard Nixon to cover the bases. And Leon Jaworski covered up the real story of Watergate and the assassination teams and let them get off with a slap on the wrist charges of covering up. They never said what they covered up. If you are aware of the fact that these men went to jail, they went for covering up, but never for what they should have been charged with, specifically many murders, including Dorothy Hunt and Martha Mitchell and Marie Chotiner. And there's a slew of about 100 or 70 Watergate witnesses. They interlink with Kennedy assassination witnesses, so it's hard to separate that. And after the Senate Select Committee closed shop, then the Rockefeller Committee picked up to investigate the CIA and the Kennedy assassination again, with Leo Chern from the CIA and Ronald Reagan on that committee. And they got a little stench of that, and they closed that real quick. And their report gave out some information, but it was pretty bad. So Representative Pike came out with his report in the House of Representatives, and it was so explosive it was locked up and secreted away. And then Senator Church's committee came out with links of organized crime and the Central Intelligence Agency ever since World War II, with Lucky Luciano, a criminal who was allowed to become part of the OSS and then the CIA, and then going to John Roselli and Sam Giacone and organized crime working with the intelligence community. And Senator Church brought that out. And then that was such a scandal. Korea Gate followed right on top of that. Again, they brought back Leon Jaworski. He sort of covered things up from Nuremberg to the Kennedy assassination to Watergate and Korea Gate. I wonder if he'll be brought back for the Carter Gate. But Jaworski was brought in on the Korea Gate, and this was the payoff and the money from, again, Nazi organizations, Reverend Moon buying off our Congress and our public officials. And then out of that came the House Select Committee on Assassinations, and when they got to the real conspiracies, they closed shop. Now we have the Abscam arrests and the Cartergate, the Turple Corcola arrests. And so as the events of blackmail or killing particular witnesses or new sceneries brought on the stage, it falls apart because they're covering bases for scandals that they think the American people can't handle. The American people can handle it. They can't handle it because they would go to jail. They would lose their lives. They would be charged with all kinds of charges, from murder to genocide. So that the government in Washington is a very sensitive group of people wondering which bases are covered and who knows what on whom. Most of the secretaries work for the CIA. The offices are bugged. There was a safe taken just recently from the Republican offices that Maxine Cheshire wrote about that has highly sensitive material, and we don't know yet what was in those safes, but that's another time bomb. So we'll watch the Abscam and the Brilab and the Pensdorf expose as it comes down. Another one of the congressmen that's been indicted is Representative John Murphy from New York. An article in the Village Voice just a few months ago titled, John Murphy, the Worst Congressman. He's a graduate of West Point. He went to West Point with General Somoza. He has assisted Somoza in bringing people over here from Nicaragua when Somoza fled his country. And Murphy was on the board of directors of the Pahlavi Foundation when New York City is going bankrupt and can't collect its garbage or any welfare services. The Shah of Iran had a tax-free building on Fifth Avenue thanks to Representative John Murphy from West Point. He's one of the men indicted in the Abscam. Those are pretty big fish, and considering their importance, the West Point graduate with international connections and Carlos Marcellus and Davidson and others, as I say, there's a wall of silence so far. But when the trials get going, unless they just plead guilty and get a slap on the wrist, we will see a lot of material on the way that Washington works. One of the biggest stories that I don't have time to cover completely, that I did do many tapes on that you can get, is the story of the Polish Pope, of the murder of John Paul I, who had to make way for Mr. Brzezinski's boy. Mr. Brzezinski is a Polish Nazi that runs the National Security Council, and he pulled in Pope John Paul II. John Paul II worked at Auschwitz, where Mengele's was, during World War II. He worked for Solvay Chemical. Solvay Chemical is owned entirely. It was owned by IG Farben, who made the deadly poisons for extermination at Auschwitz and other concentration camps. They called it pest control. And then this Pope went off to Italy to... He was part of the Milan Mafia, to meet with Secretary of the Vatican, Montini. He was the protege of Montini, who wrote passports for the Nazis to go to Shanghai, South America, Middle East, United States, Central America. They're writing passports for them to set up the Odessa, which was the international Nazi organization to take over and prepare for World War III. Now, all of this information about the Polish Pope, his work at Auschwitz, and so forth, as I say, is on paper for you, and you can order or ask me to send you the bibliography and all of this information. I'm just doing a resume of the last couple of years of some of the most important stories. It's documented. If I said this 6 or 7 years ago, it sounded outrageous, and that's why I do have slips of paper and articles to support the things that I'm saying. There's an article in the Reader's Digest on John Paul II. It was condensed from Time magazine, and it explains that John Paul II, during the Nazi occupation, worked in a stone quarry and a chemical factory. And in 1942, he decided to go into the priesthood, and he was working at this chemical factory. Another book on the biography of John Paul II explains that the chemical factory he worked for was Aschwin. It was the Solvay chemical, and there's another book that I have called Alkalies, Explosives, and the Grand Alliance, explaining that Solvay chemical is IG Farben Industry, the German Solvay company, the important German soda syndicate, and the Solvay IG Farben R1. You don't get the picture of the Polish Pope who worked at Auschwitz or with the Nazis during World War II from one source. The study of history is terribly important. You have to take it from 8 or 10 books and put the pieces of the puzzle together. History is fascinating, and I want to do some broadcasts with you on the study of history. We are taught single, isolated events, and we're not allowed by the major news media to put events together in consecutive order. It's when you put them in order and make the connections that you get a view of history that's different than what ABC or CBS throws out, or the UPI or Associated Press. The printed press and the radio, most radio stations and most printed media, television, give you a single event. They will, unfortunately, the tape that I put on the cassette machine is shorter than the full half hour on KLRB, so the last part of this program was not on this tape. I'll have to see about getting longer tapes. I thought they were half hour on each side. So this tape is cut short by a few minutes, and we'll have to alter that next week. I'm very sorry about that. I'll give you my conclusions from this week to next week's program. This is Mae Bressel in Carmel, California, and I'll be back with you next week.